Today, Drs. Herbert and Marcia Bailey continue with How to Fight with Your Faith.
You may be seated. As you do, open up your Bibles again to 1 Timothy, the 6th chapter and verse 12. And we're going to go back into this lesson of what we've been teaching about how to fight with your faith. How many of y'all have had any faith fights since I started teaching this? Amen. Let me remind you that when we come to church, we're not getting brownie points with God. You're getting the information that's going to be on the test. That's what you have to see, why you need to come to church. You're getting the information that's going to be on the test. The stuff that we teach you is going to be on the test. What test is that? The test of life. The test of life. The trying or the testing of your faith is supposed to get us to the point that we are lacking nothing, that we're mature, that we are fully developed. And so we've been talking about how to fight with your faith, because 1 Timothy 6 and 12 tells us to fight the good fight of faith, lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called. God has called us to a certain level of life, but you're going to have to fight for it, and you're going to have to lay hold of it, which means to grasp it, as and has professed a good profession before many witnesses. I said in our noon session today, I was meditating today, and I thought about this fact that if we go through our trials right, we should come out better. Not bitter, better. And so if we don't come out of our trials better, then the devil has succeeded. Because contrary to what you've always heard, trials come to make you strong. No, trials come to shake your faith. Trials come to steal a word. That's what Mark 4 says. So sows the word, and cares and afflictions arise for the word's sake. So the trials don't come to make you strong. They come to take the word. But it can be intercepted. Your trials can be intercepted, that what the devil meant to harm you ends up promoting you. That what the devil meant to cause you to regress can cause you to progress. But you gotta go through right, and you gotta fight with your faith. And so my question is a rhetorical question. The trials you have gone through, has that made you stronger? Has it made you better? Has it made you more determined? Or did it make you stop coming to church? Or did it make you stop tithing? Or did it make you stop sowing? Or did it make you stop being friendly and nice to people because you've gone through? And if so, you have not gone through successfully. Here's the deal. We all go through. Amen. It says whether you go through successfully or whether you go through and end up being defeated. We all go through. It's all a matter of whether you come out of what you go through or you get knocked down and killed as a result of what you're going through. So we have to fight with our faith. And so we started giving you real practical steps from the word of God of how to fight with your faith. Number one, we said you got to put your head in the fight, because the battle is first and foremost in your mind. You got to keep your mind right. The Bible said, gird up the loins of your mind. 1 Peter 1 and 13. Second, we said you got to show up for the fight. You can't run. You can't run from the fight. You got to show up for the fight. You can't bury your head in the sand. You got to show up for the fight, because you cannot defeat what you cannot defeat what you will not face. OK, if you're going to win, you got to show up. You can never stop a bully you will not fight. Amen. I know we got Melania Trump. She's going to start an anti-bullying. That's going to be her platform. And so she's going to start in her home. She's going to start her home, and because, as somebody said, charity starts a home that spreads abroad, and she's going to help her husband not to bully people on the internet and all that, our president-elect. And then, when we was coming along, I know it's different rules today. You're going to get suspended and expelled and everything, but our mama, our daddies told us, you're going to have to fight him. When I lived in prayer, I couldn't come home and say somebody was bullying me. My mother was not going to go home and go to school and fight another 10-year-old for me. She says, I know y'all do that today. okay? You don't touch my child. Let me tell you something. Okay? That's not how we did. I was told, you know, you got to deal with that. And the devil is a bully. Amen. He will bully you. He will take your lunch, breakfast, dinner, snack. Amen. Dessert, appetizer. The devil will steal and destroy everything if you don't learn to fight. So you got to show up. Number three, we said that you have to rehearse your past victories. And we looked at 1 Samuel 17. We looked at the story of David and Goliath. And we realized that the lion and the bear that he fought and defeated, I believe that was for Goliath. That was preparation for the big one. Listen, if you don't make it through this one, y'all ain't, you can't handle the big one. It's preparation for what you're going to. I was sharing this. I was sharing this with a pastor last week. I was encouraging him. I said, Pastor Marcy and I, when we were going through as a young family, young married couple, and we didn't have finances, we qualified for every aid program there was. Okay? We qualified for WIC, AFDC. That's what it was. AFDC, commonly called welfare, but the official name was Aid for Families with Dependent Children. Okay? We qualified for all that. We qualified for WIC. We qualified for reduced lunches. We qualified for all of that. And I refused to accept it because I made up my mind, if I can't believe God, come on now, if I can't believe God, God's going to do what he said he's going to do in Matthew 6, and that is make sure that I have the bare necessities. Y'all remember that from the Jungle Book, saying about the bare necessities? I had to believe, God, you're going to take care of the bare necessities. This church would never be in existence today if I didn't get that settled back then. There's no way I could believe God for money to build the church. And the money's going to come from unforeseen sources if I couldn't believe God was going to provide for me and my family. So I had to face that battle and declare the word and use the word. A lot of what y'all are in right now, it's not even about the battle you're in right now. If you can't defeat this little demon, some of y'all told me it's the devil. It ain't the devil. It's a little demon. If you can't face this little low ranking, this low ranking demon that makes you stop coming to church, like somebody talking about you, somebody looking at you wrong. That's some little low ranking demons just sent to vex you. Okay? And not even tormenting you. It's just vexing you. Vexing means like it's just annoying you. Okay? Some things are just annoying. You know, you can step on a roach, but a roach can be annoying. I'm sorry, bad example. Y'all don't know nothing about roaches. Okay? But you can step on them, but it's just annoying to have to keep doing it. Okay? And so certain things you got to learn to deal with, the little annoying stuff, before you get to the big stuff. Amen. So you got to defeat this at this level. Rehearse your victories to go to the next level. All right. Number four. Declare and decree your victory from the beginning. Declare your ending at the beginning. Number five, which I believe what we're going to cover today. You got to keep speaking the word. Everybody say, keep speaking the word. And the way that I used to say this in the past, you have to say it until you see it. Say that. Say, I will say it until I see it. So you got to keep saying, I mean, you get a bad doctor report, but keep saying I'm healed. You don't have enough money. Keep saying God supplies all my need according to the riches and glory. I told you I came across the scripture. I believe it's just left me that quick. I believe it's Psalm 68:19. I think it says something like, I came across it when I was in college. It says, blessed be the Lord that daily loadeth us with benefits. Blessed be who daily loadeth us. And I looked at that scripture. I started saying, I'm loaded. I'm loaded. I'm loaded. Everybody say, I'm loaded.
I'm loaded.
So you got to know, you got the word says he daily loads me. So I'm loaded. A bill come, I can't pay, but I'll say, I'm loaded. I got more month than money. And I would say, God supplies all my need according to riches and glory. Jesus became poor that we through his poverty might be made rich. So I start confessing, I'm rich, I'm rich, I'm rich, I'm rich. I'm rich. Glory. Everybody say I'm rich.
I'm rich.
Say I'm loaded.
I'm loaded.
Say I'm healed.
I'm healed.
Say I'm delivered.
I'm healed.
Say I'm a conqueror.
I'm a conqueror.
You got to keep speaking that. You got to say, you don't speak your circumstances. You don't counter circumstances by agreeing with the circumstances. You got to counter the circumstances by speaking the opposite of the circumstances. You have to conquer the lies that the devil tells you by speaking the truth that comes from God's word. And as I started off tonight, what I said, what you say of the Lord is what you will see of the Lord. Say that. Say, what I say of the Lord is what I will see of the Lord. And that's based upon Psalm 91 and 2. Psalm 91 and 2, it says, I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress. My God, in him will I trust. So the way that is said in the King James Version, he speaks in the first person. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge, not merely a refuge. He's not merely a fortress. He is my fortress. He's my refuge. He's my God. In him will I trust. I have to say this of the Lord because what I say of the Lord is what I will see of the Lord. The Amplified says this. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge, my fortress, my God. On him I lean and rely. So to trust in the Lord means to lean and rely on the Lord. Okay? Now, let's really get this straight. Let's really deal with this. If you lost hope because your candidate didn't get elected, then you were leaning and relying on your candidate. Come on, let's deal with it. If you are depressed because the person you voted for either did or did not get in office, then you are leaning and relying on the political system. Amen. Now, we do what we should do in that regard, but that's not who we lean and rely on. And so, a lot of times, we choose to trust in God, to lean and rely on God as the last choice, as the last alternative. So people say stuff like, well, so-and-so in office now, I guess we got to trust God. Really? Do you? Has it come to that? I guess we got to pray now. So what was you doing before? Who were you leaning on before? Who were you relying on before? The scripture says some trust in horses, some trust in chariots, but we will remember the name of the Lord. The name of the Lord is our strong tower. Not the Democrats, not the Republicans. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run into him and we're saved. So what you say of the Lord is what you see of the Lord. So I will, on him, I will lean and rely. In him, I will confidently trust. The New Living Translation, it says, this I declare about the Lord. This is what I emphatically state about the Lord. He alone is my refuge. Everybody say, God alone is my refuge. That means the person, a refuge is where you run to in times of trouble. Refuge is where you run to for safety. He alone is my refuge, my place of safety. He is my God. See, he's making it personal. And I trust him. For he will rescue you. Then you got to make it personal. For he will rescue me from every trap and protect me from deadly disease. I'm in Psalms 91 and verse 3, the New Living Translation. For he will rescue me from every trap and protect me from deadly disease. Verse 4. He will cover me with his feathers. He will shelter me with his wings. His faithful promises are your armor and protection. His promises are my protection. Glory to God. His promises is what protects me. What God has said. Okay? Now, here's the truth of the matter for all politicians, okay? A lot of us, we forgot because, you know, when your candidate is in, you don't remember nothing, okay? Barack Obama promised that he would shut down Guantanamo Bay. Any of y'all remember that? Some of y'all remember that. It was a major campaign promise. It was a major campaign that he was going to shut down Guantanamo Bay. After he got in office, he realized it's not real practical to shut down Guantanamo Bay, and all these terrorists we're going after, we got to put them somewhere. And it's good for them to be on an island somewhere with the sea around them. Okay? And so he realized once he got in office that though he made this promise, it wasn't real practical. I praise God and I believe God. Same thing going to happen with Donald Trump. A lot of things he promised, he's going to be like, that ain't going to work. Okay? That's not real practical. So you have to trust, here's the point I'm making. You got to trust in God's promises more than you trust a man's promises. Are y'all hearing me? But he said, and he ain't going to keep it. He said, and it's not practical. He said, and it comes against checks and balances. The scripture says, the Bible says that God is the judge, that God is the king, that God is the lawgiver. All right? Isaiah 33:22. I need y'all to look at this. Isaiah 33:22. For the Lord is our judge. The Lord is our lawgiver. The Lord is our king. He will save us. Y'all better learn that scripture. Look it up in different translations. Now look at this. This is before democracies existed as we know them. Because in our democracy, in our republic, in our form of government, we have three branches of government. Are y'all with me here? Y'all went to social studies, right? Okay. You don't have to have a political science degree to know this. Y'all should know this as being American citizens. They're going to take, y'all better, might be a test. You might get on the other side of that wall. You better know this stuff. There's three branches of government. There's the judicial branch of government. That's our judges. There's the law-giving branch of government. That's the legislative branches. That's our Congress. That's our state legislature. And then there's the king. That's the president. That's the executive branch of government. Do y'all see that? God said, I am all of that. God said, I am the judicial branch. I am the legislative branch. I am the executive branch. God said, nobody checks me. Nobody balances me. And so we got to look at the one that nobody can check, that nobody can balance, the one that doesn't have to wait for the Supreme Court to sign off on what he decides to do. We have to look to God as the judge, the lawgiver, and the king, and know he will save us. Are y'all hearing me? Man, that scripture is so powerful there. A couple years ago, I was at a conference, and Bill Winston put that in the Bible at that conference. Yeah. We were at this conference, and one speaker had gotten up. I'm not gonna mention his name, and it was a major case that changed the precedent of how the government could come after churches and that kind of thing. And what happened, you know, during the recession, the government needed money. Everybody needed money. They were going after people. So there was this particular ministry, a well-known ministry in our country, who somebody who had like a Bernie Madoff. Okay, who made off with the money? That's what Madoff did, right? He made off with that money. Okay, he had run some type of, and found it was a Ponzi scheme, but he had given millions of dollars to this church, and they didn't know with him. All they knew, this was a prosperous businessman in their church who sold the money to the church. I ain't gonna ask you where it come from either. I'm gonna say God bless you. write off on your taxes and let the church roll on. Okay? And so when they went after him, when they found out that he had given the church all this money, well, they came after the church and told the church had to give back millions of dollars. Now, most of us churches, I don't care how many millions we go through, that's what we do. We go through it. It ain't just sitting up there waiting to collect an interest. And so this pastor said that he had called up another pastor, his spiritual father, and he said, well, just tell your church about it, raise the money, and give the government needs the money. We need to be an example and just concede and give back a couple $1 million to the church, to the government. And they raised the money. They had about $1 million. They raised another $1 million. The church gave the money to them. And so all those pastors, all of us sitting there like, dang. We're like, man, somebody can come after our money. We really felt defeated. The next night, Bill Winston came in. He didn't know what was taught the night before. We left all deflated. Bill Winston came in. He didn't know what was taught. He came in and gave us this scripture. He said, so I don't care what the courts say. The Lord is the judge. The Lord is the lawgiver. The Lord is the king. I don't care what the Congress says. I don't care what the courts say. I don't care what the president says. The Lord. And we were like, yes, we ain't giving up no money. You got to know, listen, that God is sovereign even over our government. That's what I want you to see. That's who our eyes are supposed to be on anyway. Amen. So you got to keep speaking the word and declaring the word. 2 Corinthians 4:13. You can jump in here any way you want to, Pastor Marshall. 2 Corinthians 4:13. It says, we having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believe and therefore have I what? Spoken. We believe and therefore speak. So what do we speak? Look at it. Two things. We speak what is what? Written. We have the same spirit of faith, according as written, I believe, and therefore have I spoken. I speak what is written, and I speak what I believe, because I believe what is written. Now, what you believe and what's written ought to be one and the same. Because what we believe has to have a basis in the logos, in the written word of God. Now, you need to understand, this is how the spirit of faith works. This is how you work your faith. You have to say what you believe. I know a lot of this is basic stuff for us, but in the midst of your trial, you can forget this. I know you know it, but you're not being hit with something right now. You haven't received that bad doctor's report. But do you believe that he was wounded for your transgression, bruised for your iniquity, that he took upon himself the chastisement of your peace, and by his stripes you are healed? Do you believe that? If you believe that, you got to say that when you get the doctor's report. That don't mean you cuss the doctor out and tell the doctor he a liar. Amen. The doctor is giving you the facts based upon this three-dimensional world. He's giving you the facts based upon natural evidence. But we know he's giving you the fact based upon what is seen, diagnosed. Based on what the test says, what the x-ray says, what the MRI says, what the CAT scan says. He's speaking the facts. But the truth of God's words supersedes natural facts. So you got to speak the truth despite the facts. Now, what do you mean, Pastor, speak the truth? Jesus said, I believe it's John 17:17. Okay. I believe that's it. John 17:17. Sanctify them through thy what? Truth. What's truth? That word is truth. So the word is truth. The calculator is facts. Okay? Your counting is facts. Amen. The medical report is facts. You got to exalt the truth over the facts. The word says, Jesus said, thy word is truth. So I have to keep speaking the truth. Go back to that scripture of 2 Corinthians 4:13. We have the same spirit of faith, according as it's written, I believe, therefore have I spoken. We also believe and therefore speak. Now, you don't understand. We're not talking superstition, because superstitious people tell you, don't do this because you'll jinx it. You say stuff like, I'll never be broke another day in my life. I wouldn't say that if I was you. Well, you don't have the spirit of faith. Because I have that's why I say it, because I have the spirit of faith. Amen.
Are you living your best life? You can live above the natural and expect the supernatural. Dr. Herbert Bailey explains that God can do extraordinary things in your life and cause you to live supernaturally. Order this powerful message today on CD or DVD. You can also get the MP3 download. Just call 1-877-798-LIFE or go online to rightdirection.info. Order Living a Supernatural Life. If you are in our area, come join us at one of our three locations. In Columbia, South Carolina, Sunday morning worship is at 7:30 a.m. and 10:30 a.m. Wednesday Bible study is at 12 noon and 7 p.m. Friday, women's Bible study is at 12 noon. Our worship center is located at 3506 Broad River Road in Columbia. In Orangeburg, South Carolina, join us with campus pastors Trey and Katie Brave for Sunday morning worship at 10:30 a.m. and Tuesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. We're located at 990 Willington Drive in Orangeburg. In Florence, South Carolina, join us with campus pastors Dwayne and Denise White for Sunday morning worship at 10:30 a.m. and Tuesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. We're located at 1507 King Avenue in Florence. Please email your testimonies to praisereport@rightdirection.info or letters can be mailed to P.O. Box 21672, Columbia, South Carolina 29221. Please consider partnering with us or send a one-time financial gift. For more information, visit our website at rightdirection.info or call us toll-free at 877-798-5433. Right Direction Ministries, empowering people and changing generations.